Blog Talk Radio.
Want your clothes to smell freshly washed all day without heavy perfumes? Now they can, with Downy Light In-Wash Freshness Boosters. Just pour a capful of these into your washing machine before each load to give your laundry a light scent that lasts longer than detergent alone, with no heavy perfumes or dyes. Finally, a light scent that lasts all day. Downy Light, available in 4 naturally inspired scents.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Genesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
We had a love call. Yes, we did.
and it went something like this. And that was our love call, and in the distance I heard you say, always make me sit down and concentrate on you. Ah, yeah, concentrate on you, yeah. Concentrate on you, girl, yeah. That's all I wanna do is concentrate on.
Thanks for that, Brother O. This is a product of WBNN. This is Know Your Rights, and I'm your host, Tara Strength, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Calling family, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And, of course, this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Before I begin, I would like to thank Brother Oladeli and the ONE Dynasty family for giving me the opportunity to share my story and my perspective. The topic tonight is spirituality and new perspective. Interview with Mr. Reed and surprise guest. What most of us call love is in fact not love. Instead, it is the feeling of needing someone. This thing that we are calling love is the result of the subconscious recognition that another person or thing provides us with the need that we do not feel capable of meeting ourselves without the presence of that person or thing. And that's by Till Swan. All right, family. So we have a very interesting topic this evening. We're going to talk about, there's a whole lot of buzz on this on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place on the Manosphere. So tonight we're going to delve into what is it, and learn more about it. We have two esteemed guests here to give us their perspective on this topic. It should make it fun. So I want to explore this a little bit. So to get started, I want to read something a little bit before we get started on this and start the interview. This title is Saving Men from the Men's Rights Movement. To many, the very notion of men's issues or men's rights seem laughable. But what if women were dying in 90% of workplace fatalities and 3 out of 4 suicides? We have left boys and men exposed to the toxicity of online radicalization through our failure to carve out an appropriate social space in which they can express themselves. When society has been conditioned to satirize and humorize male suffering, not recognize it, men are left with few acceptable pathways to articulate and advocate for themselves. For most in North America, the word men's rights advocate is synonymous with sexism and hatred. Members are seen as resentful guys projecting their poisonous hatred at a changing world that's left them behind. That judgment is not entirely misplaced. Look no further than the leadership of the movement, Paul Elam, creator of the website A Voice for Men. He explained while speaking at a conference that divorce socializes women to be opportunistic parasites in the lives of men. Interviewed by The Independent in 2015, Mike Buchanan, the British leader of the upstart Justice for Men and Boys and the Women Who Support Them party, took aim squarely at feminism. Men are stripped out of their families and become walking wallets because that suits the state. It's a very well-documented feminist objective of 40 years to destroy the nuclear family. These examples are just a tip of the iceberg. Elam and Buchanan are part of what academics today call the Manosphere, a loose amount of amalgam made up of men angry with the state of gender politics. And while the former represent the professionalized crust baked into the pie are three even more odious layers. Number one, men going their own way. They wish to avoid women altogether to reclaim their masculinity. Number two, pickup artists are fearful of the feminization of men and seek to dispel such notions by gamifying dating and harassing women. One prominent PUA, Dariush Roosh Valizadeh, infamously hypothesized that legalizing rape on private property would incentivize women to be more vigilant over whom they socialize with, thus decreasing incidents of sexual assault. And lastly, and most insidiously, are incels, a fringe element seeking violent and often deadly revenge against a society dominated by female sexual power, uninterested in them. Mr. Reed, are you on?
Hello, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining the show.
It's my honor to have you.
Yes. Mr. Sherman. Mr. White, are you there?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
All right, so good. So we're here. All right. So we'll start with Mr. Reed first. What did you think about what I just read, Mr. Reed?
I guess we're bringing some of the conversations we usually reserve for Saturday mornings. We're bringing that to the public here. it's sobering, you know. I wanted to have this conversation and try and make it fun, but some of the statistics that you talk about are serious statistics. You do have the fringe groups, and like any group of people, you're going to have the fringe groups, the incels. But there's a fair amount of truth in some of the complaints or some of the rhetoric that they talk about, and you don't really have to look too far to see that. I think the biggest thing that the men have a problem with is the hypocrisy and the double standards.
Right.
There will always be hypocrisy. You know, people are hypocritical. There will always be double standards. We're humans and we'll have them. But if you don't acknowledge that they're even there, then you can't sort of solve the problem. And I think that's where the frustrations comes in. There's no real attempt to solve any of the problems that men are engaging in.
Thank you. So
what I would say is part of the issue that I take with our culture is this battle royale that's been set up between our genders, when the reality is that we both need each other for different reasons and in different ways. You know, but I don't, for instance, you can't really deny, of course, there's going to be some truth in the complaints. Otherwise, they wouldn't attract followers, right? Like paternity fraud is real, right? You know, the bias that court systems show, you know, against men in terms of seeing kids and enforcement of visitation is real. You know, so to a certain extent, the problem that I have is, that because it's always set up as sort of a battle, that's as much a part of the problem. I'm like, for instance, right, you have, when you talk about the hypocrisies, I'm sure plenty of us are old enough to remember something subtle like, I don't want no scrubs. A scrub can't get no love for me. No one would ever say that was misandrous, you know, but what I'm saying is that All these things, to a certain extent, you know, part of the problem is the fact that at least in our Western society, you know, we're pitted against each other, when the reality is that a man isn't your enemy, he's your father. He's your grandfather, he's your cousin, he's your brother, you know, he's your son, you know, and likewise, same could be said for women. Woman is your daughter, she's your wife, you know, she's your aunt, you know. So I think that to a certain extent, the fact that we have a system that is so that thrives off of the confrontation and the battle, more so than even the solutions to the issues, right? I think that's as much of a problem as anything you would want to say about feminism or the manosphere.
Got you, Sam. Okay. All right. So let me ask this next question. All right. So from you two, from your perspective, what would you say is the manosphere or black manosphere? All right, I'll start with Kevin on this one. How would you define manosphere as far as your concern, Kaz?
You had started out, but it's not formal. It's a loose connection of men advocating for a variety of things, some of them their rights. So you have the extremists, as I mentioned, the incels. But then you also have the, you would call yourself the SYBM, Save Yourself Black Men, who just decided they don't want to be involved with the community. Then you also have another extent, the Passport Bros. All of that is sort of under the umbrella of what you would call people who have taken the quote-unquote red pill. And the red pill is simply, has anyone seen The Matrix? The red pill is you know the truth. And what is the truth? And I'll put it as succinctly as possible. We all, men and women, grew up in a society. And in that society, we're kind of conditioned, and we've been Disneyfied, and we see the princess, and we see the prince, and we see the rom-coms. And in that, it's a man has a certain role or expectation, and a woman has an expectation. But when you get older, some people realize that, wow, I've been Disneyfied. The real world isn't like this. When I grew up, women were sugar and spice and everything nice, and boys were snakes and snails and whatever tail. And when you get up, you realize that, hey, all women are not sugar and spice, just like all men are not good. But when you grow up, it's just not something that we typically see. So when you get to a certain age, you get a certain experience, it sort of smacks you like a ton of bricks. Wow. And so that's where sometimes you see the anger. Not saying that it's right, but people do go overboard, and then that's where you get the extremes that you see on YouTube and social media, et cetera.
Got it. Mr. Sherman, so what is your definition of the manosphere or black manosphere?
So I like Kevin's sort of umbrella definition. The thing is that I sort of look at it as a reactionary set of counter-narratives, right? All the different sects that you mentioned are basically men looking for different, you know, men investigating different solutions, some of them positive, some of them negative, some of them neutral, right? Whether it be, you know, unplugging and not having anything to do with women, or whether it be going across the world to find different women or whatever it is, you know, it seems I would definitely agree that it's more of an umbrella that sort of describes, you know, a set of ideas or narratives that exist counter to feminism. You know, the way that I sort of look at it is that in many ways, you know, when women talk about patriarchy, America, the West is a patriarchy. It's just that it's different in the sense that it subsidizes its feminism. So I look at it like, I look at it kind of like the difference between the NBA and the WNBA, right? So, you know, in the WNBA, a lot of people say, well, how comes women in the WNBA don't make what men in the NBA make? You know, we should have equal pay between women and men in the NBA and the WNBA. But the reason that there's a disparity has nothing to do with gender. It has to do with the fact that the WNBA doesn't sell tickets, right?
Right.
And so they can't really pay WNBA players what they pay NBA players. But there's that disparity and that conflict, in addition to the fact that, you know, surprisingly enough, I think one of the things that the manosphere equivalent would complain about is not only does the WNBA not sell tickets, the WNBA doesn't sell tickets to the people complaining, to the women complaining about the disparity between WNBA players and NBA players. They don't sell tickets to anybody, you know. So I think that to a certain extent, the umbrella term of manosphere, you know, is a vocabulary, it's an analysis, it's a set of narratives, right, that everyone has sort of taken and gone their own direction with, you know, depending on what their selected solution happens to be.
Got it. All right. All right, so, well, okay, so, and I'll ask this to Kev. So how has social media affected Manosphere?
Oh, my goodness. How hasn't social media affected everything we do?
Agreed.
Social media has the benefit of just exposure. To a certain extent, that exposure is bad. But it allows people to see what some men have been talking about for a long time. You can go on any social media platform. Tweeting, whatever, and you'll see people dancing, talking about, you know, I need a man that, you know, six figures and 6 feet and whatever, and a man's got to do this, and I don't need to provide anything. Now, I do understand, and this is probably the biggest thing about all social media. It exemplifies the outrageous examples. And so you can go on right now and find 100 women on YouTube that say they're strong, independent, don't need no man, and telling you what they want. But when you go out into the real world, I'm not saying it doesn't exist because those women are real women on the platforms, but it doesn't, it's not as egregious as it is when you look at it on the platform. And I think, unfortunately, that's what social media does. It makes it seem like this is all out there. It makes it seem like every 25-year-old halfway decent woman out there is on a yacht vacationing in the sands or Dubai, and then you get out there, you realize, well, that's not really the case. So it has good and bad. It does allow us to see certain things, but I think it exaggerates some of the bad as well.
Okay, got it.
Well, I agree with that 100%. I think social media – go ahead.
I said 2 minutes and you have a track next. So go.
All right, so what I would say is I think that social media is an amplifier of all things polarizing and all things echo chamberish. You know, whatever it is, it blows it up to unrealistic proportions. And so that, I agree, it can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing. You know, it can certainly be a good thing in terms of, you know, a lot of times when you're in a situation, you know, you're subjected to a lot of gaslighting. You know, you're not seeing the thing that you're seeing. And it's helpful to be connected through social media to say, no, yes, you are seeing what you're seeing. I see it too. And he sees it, and he sees it, and he sees it. And there's a positive aspect to that. But then it can also lead to groupthink where everyone comes to the same conclusions about things, which may have nothing to do with reality. So I echo Kevin's sentiment. You know, it's an amplifier for better and for worse.
Great. All right, we have a track next. Thanks, Sherman. We have a track next by international DJ legend Brother O.
I know.
All right, Bolo, thanks for that track. All right, it looks like we have a caller in the queue, a caller one. Who am I speaking with? You on the Know Your Rights show with Tara Strength. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Tara, it's Jerry Petito. How are you, sweetie?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jerry?
I'm good, sweetie. Just wanted to call in and show my support and say hello. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yes, I haven't talked to you either. Good to hear from you.
I want to say hello to your guest. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
I'm good, sweetie. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thanks.
Good. So, yeah.
All right. That was easy.
You
don't have any questions?
Well, no, because I'm listening to the show and I'm just taking it all in. And you always bring it. Like, I love listening to what your guests have to say as well. You know, and he's talking about things that I don't really know too much about. So I like listening.
Okay.
Okay. You know? Great.
You haven't heard, you haven't heard anything about the Manosphere or High Value, Kevin Samuels, High Value Women and Men. You haven't heard any of that out there?
Well, no, it's not. No, I haven't. I'm not going to say yes that I have. I haven't. But I liked what he said about how it used to be with men and women.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, all right, I'll just say a little something then. You know? All right. All right, so, you know, I'm 62 years old, and things were very, very, very different back in the day when it comes to men and women.
Yeah.
And things have surely changed. And I'm not even sure, like, how I feel about certain roles and who's supposed to play what role, or because I don't think that even exists anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that's just how, yeah, that's just how I see things anymore. And I'm just like, we just have to respect each other. And we have to be there for each other. And, you know, to me, I don't ever look at, well, that's a man's role and that's a woman's role when it comes to certain things. I'm not saying never, okay? Because I still have a little bit of that old-fashionedness in me. So I still think men should do certain things and women should do certain things. And a lot of people are probably screaming right now that I even said that. But I think that's normal. That's how we were created, you know? And,
okay.
But I also love everything that he was saying. And I, you know, I'm just taking it all in. I'm listening.
Okay.
Jerry, can I, Jerry, do you mind if I ask you a question?
Sure.
Okay. So have you ever been rejected by a guy? Because us men, we get rejected all the time by women. Has a guy ever rejected you that you really wanted and put you in the friend zone like that? Has that ever happened to you? I know you were
I'm going to share this with you then since you asked, okay? Yes, he did. We were in high school, and he came back into my life as adults. And we ended up back together, and he ended up dying 12 years ago. And I'm going to share something with you. I want, and I'm saying this because it's part of your question. I was very beautiful growing up. I won 3 beauty contests, and people think that's such a great thing. Well, you know, the girl that wasn't so popular, not really, because men are afraid to approach you. So I had a lot of craziness going, like I had to be the one to approach. And, they, you know, they would all say, you know, well, I was afraid to ask you or approach you. And he was one of them. And I look at things like that all the time now, and I try to help young women. And I try to say to them, you know, if you're so beautiful, sometimes guys are afraid to approach you and they will reject you.
Okay.
And this same thing with women who are not so pretty. We've got to find a balance for these people because these young girls, and again, you know, they all struggle with their own struggles, whether they're beautiful or whether they're not, unfortunately. They all struggle. And so, yes, I have been rejected. And, again, you know, he's gone now. He came back into my life and begged me as an adult for forgiveness. And I took him back,
okay.
And it was great. And then he passed away 4 years later.
Okay.
So the reason, and thanks for sharing that, the reason why I asked that question, because I have female friends of mine who said they've never been rejected by a man in their life at all. And
okay.
If it happens, if it finally happens, they really don't know how to deal with it. And I try to explain to them that men get rejected all the time. They get rejected, it's a part of it. But they absolutely have no understanding or awareness of what it's like. And they are constantly rejecting God.
Can I say something, Tara?
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, and it's I'm glad that actually you both shared that. I think the biggest problem that we have is, as she was saying, we would sit back, men and women, and she said she was beautiful enough to win beauty pageants. And people would sit back and say, well, she didn't have any problems. Wow, that
right.
must be great. Oh, my gosh, look at her. And we can't even put ourselves in that position because it's not us. Likewise with women, women understanding men. Men have we know that when we go to the mall, back when I was young we went to the mall, you had to talk
yes.
to, you know, 10 women and get 2 numbers and maybe one would call you back. And so we knew that rejection. But if you're not living it, and I can't say that I blame other people, but you have to have a certain kind of perspective and empathy to say, wow, just because it's something that I'm not feeling, wow, people go through things every day. And I just don't go through it.
Can I comment on that?
Let me come in here real quick with just one thing. Since obviously I'm going to guess that everybody in this circle, this communication right now, is over 50 years old. Let me remind everyone that in 2023, one woman's interest is another woman's sexual harassment. And
that's right.
Men know that.
Yeah,
men know that. So the stakes of just approaching is not just how pretty she is, right?
Right, right.
The stakes are higher today than when you're talking about. I just want to throw that little monkey wrench in there.
Can I say something?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, two things. Okay, number one, the reason why men are so much more rejected is because they're the ones usually putting out the offer. So
exactly.
In your lifetime versus our lifetime, I might have approached 2 men. You've approached 100 women. So
right.
That's why that looks like that. But as far as what you said about now, in today's day, 2023, I was the manager of a restaurant for years. And these young, beautiful, adorable waitresses would grab me every day and say, he's a pervert. He just flirted with me. I'm like, what did he do? He said he loved my hair. I'm like, stop it. Okay, listen, at 62, tell me you love my hair. I want to hear it. Flirt with me. I mean, this is crazy, and what you just said was so profound, because today you cannot even look at a young girl, a young woman, and say, oh, wow, you have a beautiful smile. Okay? It's so bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's difficult to navigate these days.
Yeah.
Yes, we got to keep it family. Jerry, thanks for chiming in.
Wait,
the Hall of Famer.
Can I tell you my guest? I got to tell you my next guest, please. This is vital.
Yes.
Tuesday night, May 2nd, guys, 9:30 p.m. I am interviewing Cheyenne Elliott, Dionne Warwick's granddaughter, and Whitney Houston's cousin. Okay, guys, Cheyenne Elliott. So please tune in. Yes, May 2nd.
Okay.
Outstanding. Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for chiming in with your comments. All right. I think we have caller 2 in the queue. Caller 2, who am I speaking with?
Hey, Terrace. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you doing, Ms. Kemp?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Great.
I'm loving the content and the feedback, especially the comment from your guest with Jerry's conversation a few minutes ago. And it's really interesting, especially like with the commentary about, you know, compliments, or have you ever been rejected or vice versa? So it's really good, really interesting topic, because I feel like times have changed. And nowadays you see women who are actually proposing to men versus the other way around. And I'm like, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard much about that. Okay. That's new to me, but I'm an old man too, so.
You're not alone.
Yeah, I'm a millennial, and I feel like a man should approach a woman, and if a man, like, the man is the head of a household, as some people believe, and I feel like you should still have that man pursue you, and I feel like if you're a woman and you're chasing a man, like, to me, I just can't get down with that, and just like a quick overview, like, whenever my husband and I were dating, by 3 years, I feel like year three, you should know if you want to be with that person, you should be ready to commit, in my opinion. So I pretty much told him, boys shack and men build homes, which one are you trying to do? Because you should know. And I do, and I know, like, some people feel like you should date a person for a long time, and then from dating, then you should be engaged for a long time, and then you should get married. But I feel like a man already knows what his intentions are, and he should be willing to either commit to you or risk losing you. And there's even a show on Netflix called The Ultimatum, where there's some women as well as men that give their partners, like their partners, their boyfriends or whatever, a ultimatum, mm-hmm. like either you were going to do this or we're not going to be together.
Gotcha. Okay.
Miss Genesis, I have a question to ask you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Listen, okay, so here's my question. And I want to hear your perspective on this. Why is it that if a woman makes a lot of money, let's say she makes $100,000 a year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we hear this a lot online and everywhere. Why is it that if she makes a lot of money, she's more attracted to or wants a man who makes more money than she does? She wants somebody that she calls, that she says she wants on her level. So she makes $100,000 a year. Let's say he makes $80,000 a year. He doesn't make the cut. Now, he has a job, but he doesn't make more than her. This is something that we see that drives a lot of men crazy. What are your thoughts about this? Have you heard of this? Have you heard this from your girlfriends? I just want to know.
I have heard of that, and in the beginning, I was one of those women, like, especially whenever I was dating, but then it was hard to find someone, like, based on, like, what industry you're working in, and my background's oil and gas and energy, so, you know, if you're an African-American woman and you're very successful and you're making X amount of dollars and you want to either be with someone in your same racial group, like some African-American men are not making what you're making, or if you're dating outside of your race, then, you know, you may have to deal with some stigmas. So then you're either, like, not necessarily settling, but you're like, okay, are my standards set so high, too high? So with me, I was like, oh, I want this guy in my socioeconomic status. I want him to drive this car. I want him to look like this. But I was like, you can't marry a paper. And so whenever I was in the dating pool, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't find anybody. And the people that were attracted to me, I'm like, the man, that's trash. Like, and not saying that it was wrong, it just wasn't clicking there. And then it wasn't until, like, you know, I met my, you know, now husband, that I was like, he's everything I wanted, and he wasn't, like, the perfect paper guy, but, like, we could grow to build together. And even though, like, for me, like, even though he, like, when we met, he may not have been making X amount of dollars. I'm just figuratively putting it out there. He may not have been making X amount of dollars, and I have. But then once the roles reverse, like if I stay home for a little bit, like to raise our family, and he's the breadwinner and he's making more money than me, then there's trade-offs. So it depends on what season of life you're in. But there are some women that are not going to bend their standards because they feel like I've worked hard enough and I deserve to be wine and dine. And if a man can't wine and dine me like I want, then he's not my man. But then I feel like women, if you're looking for that diamond in the rough and you want that guy to make X amount of dollars and you're not finding him, then you're also going to run the risk of, you know, being alone because you're waiting for something that may or may not come to you, you know? So I feel like you need to see what the trade-offs is. Okay, say you make $100,000, $150,000, or you make $105,000. This guy makes $80,000. Where else can he help? Where else can he help you out in to help you compensate for the lack of, you know, finances there, you know? And how can you build and grow together?
Does anybody have any comment to make about that, Kev Sherman?
Oh, yeah. So the first thing that I would say, this is my opinion. I would first argue that such women are not really ready for marriage, because the bottom line is life is flimsy. I don't care how much money you make. A car accident ends all that. A bad cancer diagnosis ends all that. You know what I'm saying? People don't understand that, or marriage is one of the ways that we've adapted to deal with the flimsiness of life. That's why the vows are sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, you know, forsaking all others. There's a reason why those vows are the way that they are. And people who think, you know, that base all their stuff on a certain amount of money, you know, myself, I am a cancer survivor, you know, and my affliction could have very easily taken every last bit of the money that I make, you know, and left me in a very terrible financial situation. And fortunately, I was blessed to have a wife that would be there with regardless, you know, because that's what marriage is about. So to me, when I see a woman that acts like that or thinks like that, the thing that occurs to me is, one, you're not cognizant of math, because if you're a Pergamus and you demand that the man make as much as you or more, then as you go up the earning scale, the pool of people that you have to choose from shrinks, while because men are not hypergamous, the pool of women they have to choose from, i.e. your competitors, increases. It's not mathematically prudent. It's not survival prudent. I don't think it's marriage worthy. That's my personal opinion.
All right. Well, Miss Kemp, I appreciate you calling in. You have a track next. When is your next show? Well, you just had your show last night.
I did. So I'm interested to see what these numbers do tonight, Terrace. You know, I'm a little competitive now.
Well, here we go. So, thanks for calling. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate you calling in. We have a track next by DJ Legend Brother O. Brother O?
One night I love a stranger, like the beginning of a fantasy. Was it right? Love a stranger, there was nobody to care after me. La-la-la-la-la-la, nobody. La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-
We have a caller three in the queue. Caller three, who am I speaking with? You on the Know Your Rights show with Terra Strength. Hello?
Yes, my name is Beauregard Osborne, and I got a question. Are you the Hall of Fame enshrined Mr. Terra Strength?
Yes, I am. Or Sundusky.
And I also got a question for your special honored guest. Now, I've never had that issue in my 55 years. The closest thing, you know, far as being rejected, I really, you know, I'm really, really being honest here. I don't even know what that's about. The closest I have ever had in my 55 years is I had a young lady that I was feeling. We both were feeling each other. Matter of fact, we both were filling up each other. And she looked at me and she said, you know what? As bad as I want you and as bad as I know you want me, you are very, very free spirit. So I'm not going to do that to you. Far as to hold me down to a commit. You get what I'm saying? But
okay.
Being rejected, I'm just being honest with you, sir. I don't have a Sherlock Holmes clue at all on what it means to be rejected because I always had my way. I always had choice. And so to be honest, it pretty much made me spoiled for 99.9% of my life.
You had game, brother. You had game, honey.
Yes, fantastic. Yes, fantastic.
You had game.
No doubt. But I'm loving it. Hey, look, I do got a question, though. I want y'all to answer. And you know what my question is?
What's that?
Where did we go wrong? Now, won't you tell me what went wrong? With love, and maybe we can fix it. Yeah, what y'all know about that?
Yeah, you got that one. Never been rejected in your singer too, huh?
Hold on. I'm gonna come on here right now. Oh, hold on, brother. No, this brother is Brother O. See, I ain't gonna let this straggler come on and talk this crap. Listen, honey, let me tell you something. Where did we go wrong? I'm gonna tell you I went right when I divorced both my wives with the same Jewish lawyer. And now back to the program.
Lord,
oh my goodness. All right, y'all. I'm gonna put it on pause, man, and listen to the rest of the show. I appreciate y'all coming on to our great company, okay?
When is your next show, homie?
Oh, my next show, it'd be on my anniversary. Thank you so much. Right now, it should be May 4th. And I'm going to do something very special in honor of all mothers. And I had one of the best of them. She was an undisputed, undefeated bare knuckle prize fighter, as well as my spiritual mother. So this is going to be a special dedication to all mothers, even though I'm celebrating my 6 years with our great company. Thank you so much, sir.
All right, thanks for calling in, honey. Thank you. All right, so let me ask another question to you guys before we get another caller in the queue. So,
go ahead, man.
What are the passport bros, and how do they fit into the manosphere?
I'll start. Since you actually done it, I'll let you go last, since you'll probably have more information that you can add. Passport bro, as Sherman said, it's one solution to what the problems that some of the men feel that they have. And even the passport bro, there have been expats for years. You had men in the armed forces going to different, you know, stationed in different countries and deciding to stay there. And they do it for a variety of reasons. Some of those reasons happen to be because they feel that the women are more traditional there. Other reason, I tell you, I've been looking at going abroad probably 15, 20 years now, and the thought wasn't even women. It was the toxicity of America and the high cost of living. And when someone told me you can live like a king for $2,000 a month, I said, well, why not? General Motors did it. They moved their plant to someplace else because it was just a lower cost of living. So you go ahead. You've got more experience with that than I did.
Go ahead, sir.
There's a lot of truth. All right, so economically, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of truth in the fact that you can have a better standard of living because, all right, brief aside to the economics. So I have a – you know, I'm at an age where I'm taking care of a parent. I have other folks who are taking care of parents. And, you know, when you put your parent in a resting home, they make you sign away everything, you know, to put them there, right? And my coworker was like, I hope my father's money runs out, you know, covers him, right? I said, well, that's good that your father's money is going to cover him, but that place is taking your inheritance, right? That's what you would get, you know, if and in other cultures, you know, America thinks it's number one, not in all ways. In other cultures, they take care of family. Family has a different meaning, you know. You know, it's not uncommon for the elderly to be taken care of by their wives and children. I'm like, family is the natural way that people deal with that sort of thing. And so there's a lot of appeal in that abroad culturally. What I would say in terms of marriage, in terms of women and things of that nature, you know, what I would say is that, as I was alluding to before, it's not so much the women per se, so much as it is our standards, right? So as I was mentioning before, you know, you can not everything at Target, if you're looking for nice clothing, not everything at Target is cheap and not everything at Nordstrom's is quality. You can find quality at Target, you just have to look harder. You can find quality in the United States, you just have to look harder, right? We as men, our standards are typically, as long as she's sexually attractive, everything else will take care of itself. The problem is, everything else almost never takes care of itself. So if you put more research into figuring out what you're going to drive, then you would figure out what you would marry, you shouldn't really expect good results. We don't ask certain questions anymore. We don't ask what kind of family did they come from. We don't ask what's her relationship with her father. We don't ask, you know, did she grow up in a household where she got a chance to see her mother and father react, you know, interact in a healthy way. We don't ask those questions anymore. She's cute. Everything else will take care of itself, right? Well, now you've succeeded. You have a very pretty woman, but she's an entitled shrew. And you're like, what happened? Right. What happened was you didn't require her to be anything more than entitled shrew because she was pretty and you were sexually attracted to her. You know, but the thing is when you go outside of the United States, what you find is that the standards, you know, it's not that the women in those other countries are treating you like a king. They're treating you like they treat everybody else in their, every other man in their culture, because in their culture, men are respected. It's not conditional respect. Men are respected. You know, that's, you know, it's like, you know, to, you know, marry my wife, I had to go through her parents. You know, it's like when I think about the problems that women complain about with the type of men they deal with, well, are you choosing the kind of man that your father would approve of? Is your father involved in your life? Does he, would you care what his opinion is? Right? Because
right.
The swag that that guy has, the fact that he's over 6 feet tall, dad don't care about that. Dad wants to know whether his daughter is going to be taken care of and whether his grandchildren are going to be taken care of. What kind of man is this? Right? But in America, you know, in every sitcom, the father is the bumbling idiot. He's the dumbest guy in the family. The kids are smarter than the father is, because that's our culture, right? When you get outside of the United States, it's actually the opposite in most of the places that you would visit, at least outside of the West. So it's not that the women are necessarily better or worse. I wouldn't put it that way. I would say, depending in terms of marriage, you know, or at least what you're looking, what the people who are passport bros are looking for, a particular type of woman is more abundant in one place than another for a bunch of reasons, cultural reasons, you know, society reasons, economic reasons, lots of reasons. You know, but you know, like I said, you can find the United States if you're willing to look harder. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Thank you. We have another caller in the queue. Caller four, who am I speaking with? You want to know your right show with Tara Strand. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Terrence. This is Mo Garman from Philadelphia. How are you?
How are you doing, Mo? How are you enjoying the show?
I am. I'm calling to support your show, and your show is incredible, as are your guests. Hello, Sherman. Hello, Kev. How are you guys doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hello, Mo.
Okay. I wanted to comment on your question, and then I wanted to follow up on something Sherman was talking about. Your question about dating a man that doesn't make as much as the woman.
Uh-huh.
I think the woman hasn't matured emotionally and are likely very superficial and haven't worked on themselves enough to see the value that a man may bring. For example, I know a man that doesn't have a college degree, but he has some fantastic traits. And he's knowledgeable and brings that knowledge into a relationship. Traits such as emotional intelligence is very, very important. If the woman knows who she is, she'll value that. Sherman, the culture in America is very much lacking. Most African-American women don't have good role models as parents to even find out if you're having these relationships. I can understand why you'd be wanting to see someone have those traits. It's not that they don't exist here. They're just very difficult to find.
We agree. We agree. And I think, as you pointed out, it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. I think it's an American thing. And we just, you know, we're dropping the ball. And you know, the basis of community is family. And I just don't think that's important in America, as much as, you know, you hear some politicians talk about it. I just don't think it's that important.
It's not. Post-traumatic slave syndrome talks about the breaking apart of the family and how we have suffered and our families have never really kind of cohesed again. Every time we kind of come together, something pulls us back apart. And we don't actually heal. So we've never really healed enough to have some of the traits. I'm talking about as a group, not there are certain,
right.
of course, there are going to be some people in there. But as a group, we haven't healed enough to have those kind of traits that you're discussing. Whereas the Africans over in Africa or the people in Brazil or people in the Colombia, they haven't had those issues.
Right, right.
So they can
affect
differently than an American woman. And I think a lot of where American women get offended because they hear one side of, oh, you're saying I'm not good enough. And that's not what you or I are saying. We're saying that there are certain traits that you're looking for that aren't consistently there with American women.
Right. And again, I'm just going to be out there because I want this to be fair. When I say the culture is hurting men as well. We are still under that individualistic, the profit motive, capitalism, and so forth. We all fall under that, and just in an attempt to get out of it, some men are finding that staying here is not the best thing for me and my well-being.
Agreed.
Yes,
Let me go here. I don't care what anyone says. The true religion of America is capitalism.
Right? Correct.
And when you look at what is sacrificed on the altar for capitalism, don't get me wrong. I like getting paid for what I do too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you know, we're beyond the bounds of reason at this point, right? Mm-hmm. We're to the point where, you know, one of the reasons that I plan to retire to the continent is because I want more time for family, right? I've waited a long time to start, and so I'm not trying to, after waiting all this time to start family, I'm not trying to be giving it all working when I'm at a point where I can retire. I want that money to go further, and I want to be able to have more control of my time. America, not really. I don't care what anyone says. I agree with Kevin. People talk about family values. That's just a slogan. In America don't care nothing about family. You don't care nothing about family at the end of life. You don't care nothing about family at the beginning of life. You don't care nothing about family in between.
I agree with you. Totally agree with you. Other cultures value, they have the time off for husbands. When children are born, there's equal amounts of time, 3 months off for each parent. In Sweden,
you get
3 months off to be with your newborn, and then the wife gets 3 months, and then the husband gets 3 months. So the child is with their parent for 6 months, at least, before they go into childcare.
Right.
I think there's something that should be said about that. And I mean, it gets higher if you look at other countries, you know, like Finland and other things like that. They just value. You can see what they value in their culture. And so I agree with you. Capitalism is the way of the Americans.
Yeah.
Mo, thank you for your comments. When is your next show?
My next show is April the 21st.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling in your comments for Sherman Cav. All right. We have a track next by international DJ legend Brother O. Brother, what you got for us? Well, thank you for that track. I think we have another caller in the queue. Caller 5, who am I speaking with? You're on the Know Your Right Show with Tara Strength. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, Tara. It's Ava Holly. How are you?
How are you doing, Ava? How's everything going?
You know, I'm hanging in there. I don't have a lot to say on the subject because I'm, like Jerry, enjoying what your guests are bringing to the table, and it's very interesting. The dynamic is very interesting. I do have to say that a couple comments about your callers. Totally agree with Mo Garman. Totally agree with Jerry Petito. Magic Man Haru, if you're still on, you are just the exception to the rule. That's just it, in more ways than one. And I don't remember which one of your guests said they were a cancer survivor, but I am a recent cancer survivor, and I know my husband has been a rock. And it took me – this is my third marriage to my husband, and I think it's funny that – Gems with Genesis show last night was about marriage and love, and here you're talking in, you know, slightly different manner about things. I loved what Mo said about, you know, certain things being superficial, yet I totally agree that we need to go back and respect one another. The world, especially America, but the world is disjointed in the past few years, maybe even longer than that. But with all the intel and all the things that we have at our fingertips today, we hear it all, you know. So hats off to you guys for what you are talking about and what you're bringing to the table, as you always do, Terrace. You bring it just like Jerry said. So I agree with all of your callers in that we need to think. There's so many different kinds of things going on. I'm the same age as Jerry, so I go back to the school of thought that she had, and there's so much different today. And I think it's just important that we love each other and respect each other, and like one of your callers said, some people don't have that. So, and it might have been one of your guests that said that, Terrace, but some people don't have that in their families growing up. And we need to get back to family values and back to respecting each other. And I think that will help shape a little bit of what's going on today.
I agree. Thank you, Ava. Now, your next show is tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. Yes, it is. And I'm really excited. So join us on the casual chat, 9:30 on the Story Network WBNN. And I love your guests, by the way. Hats off to you guys. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you. They are doing a great job. All right, you two. So let me ask you before somebody else calls.
Hey, do you mind if I circle back? You mind if I circle back to that friend zone thing for a minute? Okay.
I
go back to what we a lot of us seen growing up, and you would see the guy who liked the girl, who had another guy, and he would just sit there and wait and pine and do things and listen, and hopefully one day, once the guy did her wrong, she'd come around to him. And I think that's what the friend zone is actually, there's nothing wrong with obviously men and women being friends. That happens all the time. But when one person wants something more than friendship and the other doesn't, we've seen these stories where if the guy just sticks around long enough, she'll finally come around. And I don't think that serves anybody. I don't think that serves a man because he's got his life to live. And I don't think serves a woman. I mean, yeah, it's good to have someone that's going to be there, but it's not real. And you're taking advantage of someone. And then when you realize that he wanted something else, then sometimes you feel like a little used or I would imagine, I can imagine, that you feel that it wasn't legit.
No, you don't need to imagine it. That's correct.
Okay. That they feel like they've been taken advantage of. They thought it was a real friend, and it turns out that he wanted something. And so I think it's kind of, you know, disingenuous.
Okay. So, and you're right. Sometimes that happens. But here's my comment. Why would I care, right? Why would I care? If Like, why would I care that this guy's in a friend zone with her? Why do I care? I mean, why should she care? I mean, she's getting something from it. He's hoping that she's going to choose him, and she doesn't. So why should we care about that?
We should, like, because we're going back to, hold on, we're going back to treating people. Again, we're talking about community. So, again, if you're just out and worried about yourself, then that's fine. But if we're trying to get back to a thing where we're respecting other people, then I think that's when and why we should care.
So let me come in. Having lived at 101 Friend Zone Way plenty of times in my life, let me put this out there. That's why I always get back to why we have to raise our standards, right? The thing that I would say is, for those who 101 Friend Zone Way has something to teach every resident if they're open to learn it.
Okay.
It takes longer to learn that lesson than others. Some it takes a long, long time to learn that lesson. But the point. But the bottom line is, I always say that, you know, sometimes when people find themselves between a rock and a hard place, they need to remember that, you know, sometimes the rock and the hard place is there to break you, to teach you what you need to learn, right? And so what I would say is that, and here's the funny thing about 101 Friend Zone Way. One of the things that it'll teach you is sometimes the absolute worst thing that can happen to a man is that he gets what he was chasing after. You know, everything looks all rosy. You know, it looks rosy from 101 Friends and Way. You're like, oh, if I had her, whatever. But then, you know, at least when I was there, I got to know a lot of people a lot better than I would have ever known them, you know, if I'd gotten where I'd hoped to get. And I look back at it and I'm like, ooh, good save, God. Good save. You know, and here's the other thing. The funny thing about 101 Friend Zone Way that you learn as a passport bro is, abroad, it's not a liability, it's a strength. You know, the thing, let's put it this way. So women that are serious about marriage, my wife is my gift from God. I love my wife more than anything. Right. And my wife said something to me. She said, swag don't put food on our table or roof over our head. I'm like,
right.
That's my wife. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, 101 Friend Zone Way can teach you things. It can give you an appreciation for things. The key is when you find yourself there, hopefully you learn what you need to learn faster versus slower, you know, but it exists for a reason. You know, so I'm sort of with Terrace to a certain extent. It's not really for anyone else to care. 101 Friend Zone Way exists to teach its residents what it's there to teach them, right? And it's up to them to learn the lesson or not learn the lesson.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Fair enough.
Absolutely. Good response. All right. So I have another question. So for both of you, is the Manosphere a hate group? I mean, there appears to be a lot of misogynism within it, and I'm asking you guys now. I know you guys are older. We're all older, a little older, but we have a lot of young men right now that are listening to a lot of this. Is it a hate group? Is it promoting misogyny? And how is that good for?
Well, promoting hate in any form, I don't think is a good thing. Again, when we go back to the fact that this stuff is online, it makes it easier to point out the hateful comments and so forth. And so there is a fringe of it that you could consider it, but I don't think that that's the gist of the Manosphere. The gist of the Manosphere is there are certain things in this society that we don't think are fair. We should have those things addressed. Again, you talk about things like paternity fraud, That's probably one of the biggest items when you talk about, you know, when you talk about equality, I don't exactly know the exact numbers, but like for every one homeless shelter for men, they're like 15 to 20 for women, although men are more homeless than women. And so when you think of those numbers, that's what the manosphere, the true manosphere, they're trying to address those concerns. The entitlement that they feel to someone. Yeah, you know, you can talk about that, and you're going to see that all day long. But if you, again, get offline, you will see that there are women out there that are not entitled. There are men out there that are entitled. That type of thing works both ways. But when you're talking about the systemic items, the systemic things that men are dealing with, that's what the primary purpose of the manosphere.
Kevin, I have a quick question for you.
Hold on,
Sherman. Kevin, in your bio, you talked about sharing the manosphere with your two sons. Can you just speak about what that means and why you would share that with your 27 and 22-year-old?
All right. Because, one, as I talked about it a bit, I grew up Disney-fied. And so, and when I say that, what I also mean is I was part of, 101 Friend Zone Way? I've been there.
Yeah.
I want them to just understand. I was talking to my youngest son, 24 years old. He's 20, I think he's 24. I forget. Yeah, you get old, you forget their ages. But in any event, and so he told me he wanted to take this girl out, this young lady out on a date, but she didn't want to go to Applebee's. And I was like, well, why not? Well, because Applebee's seemed like it was kind of like too average. And Applebee's not cheap. And he's going to school and he's, you know, working, you know, part-time. And it was just like, you know, why is it a problem for him to take a young lady? And you're going to spend, I figure he doesn't drink. You could spend $50, $60 at Applebee's, you know. And, you know, that's for a young man, it's just, you know, part-time job. That's a chunk of change, not a whole lot. But it's like, why is that a problem? She should want to spend time with you, not worrying about the sheets, which Applebee's is not a problem. And I didn't think it would be a problem. But in talking to this particular young lady, it was a problem. She expected more. And so I just want them to be aware that there are women out there who need to appreciate you for you and not necessarily the fact that you make a lot of money or don't make a lot of money, that you're a good, growing into a good young man. And that's what's important, not these other things that some women are worried about.
Gotcha. All right, Kev, good explanation. I think we have a track next by international DJ legend Brother O. Brother, what do you have for us? All right. This is the Know Your Rights Show, and I'm your host, Eric Strength. I think we have a caller six in the queue. Caller six, who am I speaking with?
Hey, how are you, Terrence? It's Dr. J here, Dr. Chinchilla Demetia. I am enjoying the show tonight. To your guests, Kevin and Sherman, awesome guys. You're all awesome.
Thank you so much.
I want
Thank
to chime
you.
In. You're welcome. I want to chime in with the last thing. I think it was Sherman talking about the young lady, or I think it was, no, it was Kevin, about the young lady with your son on the date, and she didn't want to go to Applebee's. I find that just so horrible, and it just makes me think about when I was younger, how mostly all of the females that I knew, they would look at guys, and, you know, they would determine whether they want to go out with them or not based on what they had on, their jewelry, and the car that they drove. And me, never looked at those things. I never looked at those things in a man. Like, when I looked at a man, I looked at the man for who he was, how his head was on his shoulders, you know, and what he stood for. And it didn't matter to me what kind of car that the guy drove or whether he had on name brand suits or even if he wore a suit. And jewelry, none of that stuff. I was never a materialistic person. So many women out here today that are nothing but gold diggers, and, you know, they want the money. And that's what they look at, what kind of job you have. And so now I'll be 60 in August 12th, and still there are women my age now that still do that same thing. And I'm like, you know, why? Right. You know, I've had guys that made less money than me, and it didn't matter. If the guy was a nice man and knew how to treat me as a woman and was striving to be whatever he was striving to be, hey, that was fine with me. I didn't care about what he was making and whether I was making more or whatever. And my husband, he made less than I did, and it didn't matter. And, you know, and then the tables flipped when I was starting my first business, and he was making more than me. And he supported me in my endeavors. And everything that I did as an entrepreneur, he supported that. And then I started making more than him again, and then just really surpassed him financially. But it didn't matter because we were working together as a team. You know, women really need to get it together. If they want a good man, they're going about it the wrong way. You cannot look at the man's finances because that can change at any time. So women, look at the man for who that man is, whether they're a man of integrity, whether they have goals that they're striving to achieve, visions and dreams. And as long as they're treating you good, don't worry about the materialistic things. Worry about if he loves you. And if he's going to put you first and look out for you mentally, emotionally, and financially whenever he can. But sometimes a man may not. Men lose their jobs just like women do. So if a man loses his job, you're going to say, oh, well, you don't have a job now, so I'm going to leave you. Women get it together. And some of y'all wonder why you by yourself. Those that say, oh, I want a good man, you're not going to get one. Okay? But guys, thank you. And I have a whole lot more to say, but I'm going to let other people talk. I just want to comment on that. Thank you so much, guys. I'm enjoying the show, Terrence. Thank you so much.
Chinchilla, thanks for calling. Miss Chinchilla, she has a show every weekend on Sunday night. You guys got to log in and check her out. Thanks for calling in. She's our illustrious commissioner. Thank you. All right. So there you have it. There you have it, guys. You heard from Chinchilla. She talked about that she's not that way, you know, and we know we have a lot of people who are not that way. So
let us recognize that I think Chinchilla's, I don't think Chinchilla's in her 20s. I think you know, that mindset is a little bit more common with people that are a little older than with people that are younger.
Right. So is there any hope for male-female relationships? Are we going to ever get it together?
I think there's always hope. Okay, you're better than me then.
So Sherman thinks there is hope. Kev doesn't think there is any hope.
Individually, you will always have the cases where a good man meets a good woman and they ride off into sunset fairly happily ever after. But I just think the tie, you know, what we talked about earlier is, you know, the social media aspect of it. And I just think, you know, we are programmed to see and want. And then when we can't get what we see through, quote, unquote, legitimate means, we find any other means necessary to get it. And so if that means, I don't know, if it means getting flued out to Dubai, or if it means getting on an OnlyFans account and with brothers deciding, hey, if it means leaving the country, then I'll leave the country. It's easier than putting in the work to make it happen. And I think more people are apt to not put in the work and just, you know, not worry about the community, worry about themselves.
I can't disagree with you. Sherman, very quickly, and these are your final thoughts. Go ahead,
Sherman.
All right,
so the reason I feel that there's hope is because marriage remains a good idea for both men and women. So obviously, you know, in the beginning, the power shifts is a little bit more towards women because they're young and everyone wants them. You know, then as men get older, it seems to shift again as they can provide more security. You know, but then it shifts again when we all reach what I call our utility expiration date, and that's when we need the people around us more than the people around us need us. And when that time in life comes, and if you live long enough, it comes for everybody, it won't be about, you know, what your salary was. It'll be about what your relationships were. You know, the bottom line is people change when they need to change for the reasons that they need to change, right? And so I see that there's hope because I think it's going to be a necessity. I think especially as things get more desperate in this country, you know, especially as things change and become more uncertain, I think people are going to revert to what they have to revert to in order to survive. And I think marriage still remains the best idea. I can tell you from personal experience, it was the best idea in my case.
Got you.
And you know what, Sherm? I hope you're right.
Well, that makes two of us.
Sherman doesn't even know how to respond to that. You know what, fellas? I really enjoy both of you. These are final thoughts. I really enjoy both of you guys. Thanks for coming on the show and sharing your perspective. Sherman White, Kevin Reed, thank you guys for coming on. This was outstanding. And hopefully maybe we can do it again in the future. Brother O?
Well, first of all, as a wonderful and eligible bachelor, I don't have those type of problems, and I'm happy to be by myself. First of all, I want to thank all the folks that counted, not Robert, to listen to this program tonight. And, again, what more can we say? I want to thank Kevin and, of course, the wonderful person that came on these shows tonight. And I think that we need to be better in our relationships. We really do. Absolutely. And I think that Kevin and Sherman, you know, did an outstanding job tonight, and I really appreciate it. Now, of course, let's get into history. First of all, we want to congratulate this man who was part of a great fraternity around the world, the International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. To its enshrinee for the class of 2022, we congratulate Mr. Terry Striff on his 51st WBNN All-Time Connection record, 5th All-Time and the only Hall of Champions, 11th consecutive. So he's continuing his streak of double-digit connection records, first time since 2021, and the first host ever in the history of Beverly Nation to garner 23 million listeners. Congratulations, Terry Strength, tonight, and now to my commissioner for Ngozi time.
Wow, congratulations, Terry. Your 51st all-time connection record, that is awesome. I am so proud of you. Your 11th consecutive, that is just awesome. And again, to your guests tonight, Kevin and Sherman, I truly enjoyed you guys tonight. And wow, keep up the good work, Terry. Keep up the good work. I invite you guys, of course, to listen to News Forum Sunday night, 9:30 p.m., everybody. I'm going to have on some more candidates that are running for office during this primary. And definitely tune in because you want to make sure that you're voting for someone that is suitable for these seats. We're talking about city council. We're talking about judges. And we're talking about mayoral candidates this year, okay? So definitely tune in Sunday night, and we're also going to have a wrongful conviction case. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time, Noah Dele Milewe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight, oladele.ngozi@my.com. For our mother's and father's favorite producer, Oladele Milewe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for Casual Chat with Ava Holly tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at www.blogtalkradio.com. You can tune in that way, or you can tune in just as you did tonight for those of you that are tuned in via cell. And I did want to make a comment. I think it may have been Sherman that had commented that I'm not 20 or in my 20s. I'm definitely not. And I did say I'll be 60 on August the 12th, so 6 decades I am approaching. But I did say when I was in my 20s that all of my friends used to be gold diggers, and that's what they look for, the men with driving nice cars and had to be a certain type of car and, you know, and all that stuff. And but then today there's still women my age that still do the same thing. And it's just sad. Ladies, again, get it together. All right, now back to International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting in Trinity, Tara Strength with Know Your Rights.
Thank you, Chinchilla. Thank you for that. And Brother O, thank you for the announcement of the Connection Records. I really appreciate you guys' support and everything. I want to thank my guests, Kevin Reed and Sherman White. First of all, they're good friends of mine. We talk like this all the time. So I had an opportunity. I asked them would they be on the show to discuss this topic, and they said they would. And it's been outstanding. So I want to thank them for being on here and sharing their perspective. To my Facebook family, thank you for everyone that is watching. I appreciate you. I love you. This doesn't happen without you. And I will see everyone within another 4 weeks for my next episode. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Make sure you tell someone you love them, and good night.